بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله يا غريب كربلاء رزقنا الله في الدنيا زيارتكم وشفاعتكم في الدنيا والآخرة. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال: فما خطبك يا سامري؟ قال: بصرت بما لم يبصروا به، فقبضت قبضة من أثر الرسول فنبذتها، وكذلك سولت لي نفسي. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Continuing with our discussion, the series titled The Discovery, Prophet Musa and Al-Imam Al-Husayn salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhima, where on the first night we looked at examples of individuals who grew up in a morally bankrupt environment, yet they became so devout. And those were Asiya bint Mazahim, the wife of the Pharaoh, and Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, Fir'aun's cousin. And you had an example of an individual who grew up as a Mu'min or among the Mu'mineen, yet turned against faith and Islam and the religion. And that was Qarun, the cousin of Musa alayhi salam. Then we took a look last night at how people witnessing the miracles introduced by Prophet Musa alayhi salam repeatedly, and then they still followed and obeyed Fir'aun. And we said one possible explanation could be the repeated exposure to the message of the Pharaoh, the propaganda. which may resulted in those people, despite them witnessing the truth, but rejecting it and not following it. Tonight, inshallah, we'll take a look at another example from the story of Musa alayhi salam, and that is As-Samiri, who resembles deviation. We'll take a look a little bit about As-Samiri. Then again, we will relate that kind of deviation to some deviations we see in this day and age. And then at the end, we'll connect that to Al-Imam Al-Husayn, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Brothers, I know today is a working day. Some of you may have been to school, so you're tired. But this is not the salawat we recite in the majlis of Al-Imam Al-Husayn. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. That's how we'd like it to be, inshallah, consistently for the next 10 or so nights, inshallah, every time. So let's do a test run here. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Prophet Musa alayhi salam with Bani Israel came to the sea. He was followed by Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, and they tried to kill them, to finish them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, strike the sea with your stick or with your cane. So each part of the sea parted. It parted, and Quran describes each side was like a mountain. Kattawd. Tawd means mountain. Each side became like as high as a mountain. And the ground was basically exposed. So the people of Musa alayhi salam crossed the sea, and that was followed by Fir'aun. They tried to follow them. After crossing, the people of Musa, when they all crossed, then the sea closed, and therefore Fir'aun and his army, they all died, drowned. Interestingly, as he was drowning in his final moments, Fir'aun says, "Ament. Now I believe." Quran says a response came. This response could be from the angels. The angels replied to him at that moment. Al-an, now, where were you all these years? Musa was talking to you, preaching to you. Now you become a mu'min? Now that you saw death? Here, just as a side note, brothers and sisters, these majalis of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam bring revival to our hearts. Let us not wait until, God forbid, we see death and then we say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. From now, do istighfar. From now, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You coming to these majalis is a form of repentance, a form of tawbah. And that's why it is said in the ahadith, attending the majalis of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam forgives the sins. Anyone who cries for Al-Imam Al-Husayn, anyone who makes people cry for Al-Imam Al-Husayn, and anyone who pretends to cry for Al-Imam Al-Husayn. So at the time of the eulogies, even if for whatever reason you can't shed your tears, pretend. Even then, all the sins will be forgiven, inshallah. Bi barakat al-Husayn wa bi barakat al-salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. So that's important. Now, having said this, that does not mean that once we are forgiven, the obligations that we have outstanding against us are done. For example, if you've missed qada salat, you still have to perform it. If you've missed qada siyam, for example, you have qada of siyam, you have to perform it. It doesn't mean that, okay, great, I have all my sins forgiven, so that's it, I'm done. If you've taken the haqq of a mu'min or a mu'mina, you have to give it back to them. These are mandated, obligated. Otherwise, there are consequences that will be associated with that. Yes, Imam al-Husayn, Safinatun Najat, Salamullahi alayhi. Misbahul Huda, Salamullahi alayhi. The light of guidance and the ark of safety. And that's, we come here so that we can ride on this ark of safety. So inshallah, we can go straight to Jannah with Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam on the day of judgment. So let's not wait until the end of our lives and then we say Astaghfirullah. Right now, from now, let's change our actions, change our deeds. Fir'aun at that moment said, Astament, I have believed. When the sea closed on him and he drowned. Here, it is narrated, a group of Jews came to the Khalifa who was sitting in the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, Abu Bakr. They came to the masjid, they asked, who is Khalifa to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi? They told him, this man. Said, okay, we have some questions that only a Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi can answer. He said, I am the Khalifa of Rasulullah. What questions? They asked him some questions. Amongst them, they said, can you tell us of a grave that was mobile? He said, I don't know. Can you tell us of a land that only saw the sun once in its life and would never see the sun again? Said, I don't know. Can you tell us about some who came to this world without a mother? I don't know. They said, what kind of a Khalifa are you? Remember, Islam was still new. We're talking in the early days. This was in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. So when the Muslims saw that, we don't know, we don't have answers to these questions. Some of them, their iman starts to weaken. I mean, you have some people who had just became Muslims after the conquest of Mecca. So that's after the year 8 after Hijrah. So people are new in their iman. When they saw that, people's iman, people's faith started to shake a little bit. Again, on a side note, brothers and sisters, for us who believe in Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, let never doubt enter into your heart. We are following the Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Whatever arguments you hear, brothers and sisters, the madhab of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam has given us answers. Come and ask. And even if you don't find the answer, you yourself should be convinced beyond doubt that this is the haqq. This is the truth. This is the truth. I may not have an answer, but this is the truth. This is like one day there was a teacher and a student. The teacher wanted to kind of test the student. He told him, listen, do you see this river that we are standing next to, the river? He said, yes. He says, all this actually is in your imagination. This is not real. There is a group known as the idealists, some philosophers. In the Arabic, they call them Sufistaiyin, where they believe this whole world is imaginary. Everything is just up into our imagination. It doesn't exist. So this teacher was telling the student that this world is just non-existence, all up into your imagination. And he brought them so many proofs. The student couldn't answer. He didn't really have an answer. What he did is the following. He went and he pushed the teacher into the water. So the teacher came out soaked. He said, "What did you just do?" He said, "Listen, I couldn't answer you. I didn't really have an answer to the arguments you were presenting me to. Your arguments appeared to be valid arguments. I did not have an answer. However, I was certain in my heart, in my intellect, that this is real. And look, I pushed you into the water, you got soaked into the water. So if this is imaginary, then why are you complaining? It's in your imagination that you got wet." So our aqeedah is the truth. Ahlul Bayt are the haqq. Even if we may not sometimes have the answers. If we don't have access to the answer is there. We may not have access to it at the time. So this is something I want to leave you guys with. As a side note. Those Muslims, when they saw this, their iman started to shake. That the Khalifa of the Prophet, or the so-called Khalifa, was not able to answer. Salman al-Muhammadi, or al-Farisi, radwanullah ta'ala alayh, he noticed this. So he ran quickly to Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayh. He said, "Ya Ali, come and save Islam." So Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayh, rushed. Came to the masjid. He looked at these people. He said, "I heard you have some questions." They said, "Who are you?" "We have some questions that only the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is able to answer. And they told us that is your Khalifa." He did not answer us. He told them, "Ask me." They said, "Tell us about a grave that was mobile." He said, "That was the whale that ate Yunus alayhi salam, the prophet." Quran says, if Yunus was not among those doing tasbih, musabbihin, he would have remained there until the day of judgment. That would have become his grave. And it was mobile. It's moving. They said, "Oh, okay. This guy knows how to answer." Okay. They said, "Tell us about individuals who came to this world without a mother." Not Isa alayhi salam. He had a mother. Because sometimes people go, Isa alayhi salam. He didn't have a father. He had a mother. Without a mother. He said, "Adam alayhi salam." That's one. Hawa. That's two. The sheep that Allah sent down to sacrifice to save Ismail. That didn't come from a mother. The camel that was sent to Prophet Salih alayhi salam did not have a mother. And the snake that Musa, when his stick changed into a snake, that snake did not come from a mother. Some traditions also add Iblis. They say Iblis didn't come from a mother. Iblis was also created. Some traditions. But nonetheless, those five are consistent. So those guys were surprised. Oh, he now knows the second answer. Okay, tell us about a land that only saw the sun once in its life and it will never see the sun again. He said that was the land that the children of Israel crossed when Musa parted the sea. That land only saw the sun once in its life and it will never see the sun again. They asked him some more questions and he answered them all one after the other. After hearing them, they said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa annaka bil haqq khalifatu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi." The ilm of Ahlul Bayt is a sign of their imamah, is a guide to their imamah. their ilm, salam Allahi alayhim, their knowledge. People resort to them for help, but they don't need to resort to anyone for help. That's a sign of their imam. So going back to the point, these people, the Bani Israel, crossed. Now they just witnessed a huge miracle. They saw that the land parted, you know, this despite all the miracles that they've seen earlier that we spoke about last night. They just witnessed this. The minute they crossed the water, they came across a group of people who were worshipping some idols or an idol. They came across that. They turned to Musa alayhi salam. They said, how about you make us a god like this? He said, people, you just crossed the sea. What are you talking about? What does this thing do to you? It cannot help you. It cannot harm you. Allah just saved you. What are you talking about? A Jewish man tells Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, it's narrated, that you Muslims, the minute your prophet died, you had a dispute about him. اختلفتم فيه. Imam Ali replied, he said, you people, the minute you crossed the sea, you rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're claiming that we disputed about our prophet, you had a dispute about Allah. And then Imam Ali corrected him. He said, ما اختلفنا فيه, اختلفنا عنه. He said, we did not have a dispute about him, about his nubuwa. All Muslims accept that the prophet is the prophet. There is no question about it. They didn't have a doubt about that. But they had a dispute about his teachings, about his orders. But there was no dispute about him himself. The dispute was about imamah. As-Samiri was among those people who crossed the ocean. He witnessed this. He saw that. He saw that people, these people have the basics. You know, the land is fertile. Okay, you see that? They asked for a god from Musa alayhi salam. Samiri was there. He witnessed that. Comes some time later, Prophet Musa alayhi salam has to leave those people and he has to go to get the Torah from the mountain of Sinai, Tur. He tells them, I'm going to leave for 30 days, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends it by 10 additional days, making it 40 days. So he leaves. He keeps his brother Harun as the leader while he is absent. And we'll talk about that inshallah in future nights. Harun and Musa alayhim as-salam. As-Samiri waits until day 30. Okay, Musa is supposed to be back. Musa doesn't show back, doesn't show up. He goes to the people. He says, look, Musa's gone. Khalas, he's left us. Finish. So, give me your gold and jewelry and I will make you a god. Didn't you guys want one? I'm going to make you one. So, they started following him. He makes this calf or cow in a golden shape. And either he engineers it in some particular mechanism such that when the wind blows, it makes a sound, it makes noise. Or some mufassirin, they say that Samiri was a good mu'min originally to the point where when they were crossing the land, the sea, he saw Jibra'il on a horse. He took some of the sand that comes from the foot of the horse of Jibra'il. قبضت قبضة من أثر الرسول, that I took a sand or a glimpse of the messenger. Now this messenger, either Musa, which means that I tried to become a prophet like Musa, I also tried to create a god, or the messenger could be referring to Jibra'il, that I took some of the sand from the foot of the horse of Jibra'il. This sand had some holiness, some barakah. So therefore, he put it in that calf, and the calf started making noise. These are two interpretations of the Mufassirin. Regardless, the calf started making noise. These people started worshipping it. The traditions say there were 600,000 people of Bani Israel at that time. Of them, only 12,000 remained mu'mineen and loyal to Harun. The remaining 588,000, they worshipped the calf. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is not even 40 days after Musa left. And they had witnessed all these miracles and all these things. So then, Musa alayhi salam comes back, and those people realize their error, their mistake. So Musa alayhi salam comes to Samiri after some discussions in the ayat of Surah Taha that we recited. He said, قَالَ فَمَا خَطْبُكَ يَا سَامِرِي. What happened to you, يَا سَامِرِي? What's going on? What's up with you? He answers, قَالَ بَصُرْتُ بِمَا لَمْ يَبْصُرُوا بِهِ. I saw what they did not see. Here, what they did not see could be, according to the first group referring of interpreters, referring to Jibra'il, that they didn't see him, I saw him. Or, I saw what they did not see, meaning that I prophesied, but they didn't prophesize. Okay, so it could be either way. All right? فَقَبَضْتُ قَبْضَةً مِنْ أَتَرِ الرَّسُولِ. I took some of the messenger, something from the messenger. This messenger could be, again, Jibra'il, according to the first interpretation, or who? Musa. Good, you're with me, inshallah, you're not asleep. Huh? Good, you're awake? Okay, Musa alayhi salam. So that is the second thing. فَنَبَثْتُهَا. I put it into this calf, and then this is how my evil self commanded me to do. وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. So Musa alayhi salam said to him that you will have then to be sent in an exile. That's your punishment. No one shall come near you. Some mufassirin say he received some illness such that people would never go next to him because it was a contagious illness. Some people say he just went on an exile on his own until he died in the desert. So on and so forth. So this is the story of As-Samiri. Then Musa alayhi salam turned to the Bani Israel. He told them, what did you guys do? I leave you for a few days. You start worshipping a cow or a calf. So we're going to destroy it. We're going to burn it and dump it into the ocean. He made such a severe stand or such a strong stand. People say, well, it's gold. Why would he dump it in the ocean? Because he wanted to make a strong stand that this is wrong. So we're going to try burning it. Even maybe gold doesn't burn. But that's why it's a symbol that we don't follow this thing. It's nothing. We're going to burn it and dump it into the ocean. Oh, yeah. Especially the ladies' side. If I may request you to please move forward as much as you can. And also the men, please. جزاكم الله خيرا. تقدموا رحم الله من ذكر القائمة من آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Brothers, your salawat wasn't that great. لذكر قضاء الحوائج صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. لتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان الثالث بأعلى أصواتكم. Ladies, again, please, if you can move forward as much as you can, please. جزاكم الله خيرا. أحسنتم. Please move forward. There's still some space, please. جزاكم الله خيرا. كما نرحب بسماحة السيد الكشميري حفظه الله ورعاه والسادة والعلماء الأفاضل لدوام موفقيته وصحته إن شاء الله وطول عمره وكذلك طول عمر سماحة المرجع الأعلى السيد السستاني حفظه الله ورعاه وجميع المراجع الكرام صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So brothers, Musa then came to them and told them, listen guys, I leave you for a few days and this is what you do. He said, oh, what can we do? I'm sorry, Prophet Musa, it was a mistake. He said, well, now there is a punishment. What is the punishment? Those 12,000 have to kill those 588,000. They have to be killed. Those people, the 12,000, that's Ya Musa, this is a stronger punishment to us than it is to them. You know, some of those are our cousins. Some of them are our, you know, relatives, family members, brothers. It's difficult for us. This is a more of a punishment to us. He said, it's a test from Allah. You have to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submit. So they said, okay, if that's what Allah wants, we'll submit. Khalas. There is no relatives when it comes to the ma'siyah of Allah or ta'a of Allah. If my relative, my own brother, is doing something haram, I will stop right there, even if he's my brother. If my brother mistreats, for example, his wife, or my sister mistreats her husband, I will not side with them just because they are my brother or my sister. No. Haq is haq, batil is batil. Let's learn this lesson, brothers and sisters. There's no families in this issue. Ta'atullah is ta'atullah. Khalas. We obey Allah. When it comes to halal and haram, it's not about family and pleasing people. It's about pleasing Allah. Because the burden at the end of the day is going to be on my shoulders, not on their shoulders. So those people, they submit, but then some of them remember. They said, wait, we remember Prophet Musa telling us that whenever people are in desperation, they can do tawassul bi Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. And Allah will forgive. So how about we do this? They remembered. So they said, okay, let us do that. So they raised their hands, all of them. And he said, oh Allah, they said, Ya Allah, بحق محمد وعلي وفاطمة والحسن والحسين إلا ما غفرت لنا يا الله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. So the revelation came to Musa. He said, Ya Musa, they've asked me by the most beloved creation to me to forgive them, and I will not turn them. I have forgiven them. You see the ni'mah that we have, we follow these people, brothers and sisters. These are the people whom we follow. Now some people may say, well, how did Bani Israel know about every prophet would preach about the prophet that comes after him and about Rasulullah and his family? We read it in Surah As-Saff where Prophet Isa alayhi salam says, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ. I am giving the news of a messenger who's coming after me. And he names him. Ismuhu Ahmed. He gives his name. So he gives the news. So the Quran gives us example of prophets telling that there will be other prophets coming after me. And Rasulullah is coming at the end of time. So they worshipped. They did dua through Allah. Brothers and sisters, you are in the majalis of these ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam. So if you ask Allah, we also raise our hands and we say, Ilahi, bi Muhammadin, wa Aliyin, wa Fatima, wa al-Hasan, wa al-Husayn, illa ma ghafarta lana, wa ja'altana min shi'at al-imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, wa razaqtana shafa'atahu fi al-dunya, wa fi al-qabr, wa fi al-akhirah, bi barakat al-salati ala Muhammad, wa ali Muhammad. So having done this, Samiri then became a symbol of deviation. He became a symbol of deviation. Imam Ali alayhi salam one day came to Basrah when he became the Khalifa of the Muslims. Of course, the Khalifa al-Zahiri, he was always the Khalifa of the Muslims. But when he came to Basra, a man by the name of Al-Hasan al-Basri. This Hasan al-Basri, he started a tradition. He was not a follower of the Imam alayhi salam. And when the Imam wanted to fight the battle of Al-Jamal against some of the companions and the wife of the Prophet who raised against him, Al-Hasan al-Basri said, don't fight, don't fight. Those people are Sahaba on both sides, so don't fight. Imam Ali told him, Where is the haqq? You have to line with the haqq, side with the haqq. But he said, no, don't fight. La qital. Don't fight. When Imam Ali alayhi salam finished the battle and he won the battle, he came to Basra. And some people came to listen to what he has to say. Al-Hasan al-Basri also came and he brought some, what we call today, like paper and a pen, what we call today. Imam Ali saw him. He said, what are you doing? He said, I would like to write what you're saying because what you say is valuable. So he says, if what I say is valuable, then why didn't you follow me? I told you, come and fight. Imam Ali then said to him and to the people, he said, this is the summary of this nation. This is the summary. He is the one who deviates people. Samiri said, La Misas. He says, La Qital. So Samiri became a symbol of what? Deviation. People who sometimes project ideas that apparently, for those who don't have much thought and intellect, when they don't look deep, these ideas appear to be very valuable, very valid. But once you dig deeper a little bit, the whole thing collapses. In this day and age, there is a lot of such things. And we have so many summaries in this day and age. I will mention briefly 3 points. One regarding health. Brothers and sisters, today there is a lot of advertisement about something called vaping or e-cigarettes. So many of the youth are now taking it. They say it's okay. It's become something cool. And in fact, the Center for Disease Control in the United States, CDC, they have issued statements and research indicating that those companies used to spend $6 million on advertisements 10 years ago. Today they are spending $115 million on advertisement. And these statistics were from 2014. These are the latest. So now it's 5 years later. So maybe these numbers have multiplied. They said it is so dangerous that more and more youth now are smoking it. These things, they say the majority of them contain nicotine. And so they addict people. They're addictive. This is not something cool. People gather socially and you find them smoking these things. This is not a good thing, brothers and sisters. Stay away from it. Not only that, it's the environment also. Sometimes the environment is the problem. Some people told me, especially the brothers, no, shisha is good. No, you will have it. What is the environment that you go in to have it? That could be a problem. Don't stay up until 2 a.m. having shisha and then you go to bed at 3 and then you miss Salat al-Fajr. Which environment are you in? Where are you doing this? Do your parents approve or not approve? There are all these secondary issues which could make it a problem, even from the religious point of view. So sometimes we don't look at the issue in isolation. We take a look at other issues to it. Drugs, alcohol, but drugs is becoming prevalent, unfortunately. In Canada, they have legalized marijuana. So weed has become legalized now. People can have it, can consume it. And it's created such a huge problem now. Accidents, problems, similar things to alcohol. Except researchers say we don't have as much evidence to show the harm of weed as much as we have for alcohol. Alcohol has been there for a long time. This is relatively new. But it is harmful. So stay away from these addictions, my brothers and sisters. They may appear to be so appealing. Thousands, millions of dollars are being invested on making people addicted to all these things. We have to become a bit smarter, not fall for the summary. The second thing, morality, my brothers and sisters, morality. It's become a very important issue these days. A few years ago, there was a show here in the UK. I read about it in the Canadian newspaper. This show, according to the article, it surpassed all lines of decency. On the grand finale of this show, millions of British people gathered to watch it. The language spoken, the things that are presented, all, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ حَرَامٌ فِي حَرَامٌ. Our youth are watching these things. This is causing them to become desensitized to this kind of language and this kind of behavior. It's fine. In fact, people would say, you know what, I am much better. I only use foul language. At least I don't use these things. They justify. Using foul language is bad. I remember a few years ago, many years ago actually, I was young. And I grew up in a city in Canada that's very known as to be a touristic city. It's called Vancouver. Very beautiful city, touristy. A mu'min came to visit, so one day I took him sightseeing. We came across, this mu'min came from a Muslim country. He resides in a Muslim country. So he came to Canada and I took him sightseeing. We came across a hair salon shop. You know hair salons? Is that what you call it here? Because sometimes British have different names for things, right? Called hair salon, where they cut hair? Yeah. No, barbers are for men. Hair salon are a bit more chic. Or unless you guys can, for everything barbers. Or maybe you don't have any chic stuff. I don't really know what you guys, Brits, I mean, nonetheless. And Canadians were a bit more advanced. So, I took him, and there was a female stylist cutting the hair of a man. The man is on the chair, and she's cutting his hair. He walked by, when he looked at it, he said, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. I said, what's the problem? He said, this, don't you see? A woman is cutting the hair of a man, that's haram. I told him, brother, you haven't seen anything yet. This? Wait until I take you a bit more, you know, then maybe we'll have to head back home. He said a very interesting statement, which really still resonated with me. This was more than 20 years ago. He said, you know what? This is so bad. I said, what? He said, you guys have become desensitized to this sin. Because you see it every day, so common, that you've become desensitized. This is a sin, it's haram. One cannot say this sin is less important than that sin. Sins are all sins. It's a disobedience to Allah. That's why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, don't look at how small the sin is, but rather look at who are you disobeying. Allah, who gave you everything you have in this dunya, everything comes from Him. And yet you still disobey Him? How disrespectful, if you think about it. This is a sin. Don't become desensitized to this sin. Some people say, Allah, who cares, you know, man cutting for a woman, woman cutting for a man, it's haram. But it's not about that. It's about us not training ourselves to get used to these kind of things. When people start watching these kinds of shows, they become desensitized to the sin, desensitized to the immorality. And that's why there is a paper written 21 years ago in 1998 by a professor of political science at the University of Oklahoma. His name was Dr. Hertzk. Dr. Hertzk wrote a paper titled The Moral Ecology. He said, this was in 1998, before the internet really boomed and all these shows and reality TVs and all that. This is why way beyond belong. Maybe half of the Majlis people here may not have even been born by that time, I think. 1998, no. The other half, well, we've gone old, brothers. So, he wrote a paper. He said, just like there are some companies that are polluting the environment, and the governments have imposed taxes on these polluters so that they can control climate change. This was back in 1998. He said, there are also organizations that are polluting morality. Mainly the entertainment industry. The entertainment industry is polluting our morality. with the shows that they are presenting, with the music, for example, they're presenting and all that stuff, they're polluting us. Therefore, he says, we should impose a tax on the entertainment industry to fight this immorality, because it's coming at a cost. It's ruining family values, family structure. It's causing some other issues, other problems. And all these come at a cost. So we really have to watch our morality. One way to do that, brothers and sisters, is to avoid these kind of shows. This is in our hand. Then someone will say, Sheikh, then what are we going to watch on TV? Yahi, there's so much to watch on television. Yani only these things? Watch news. On a second thought, that might be depressing. Never mind. No. Watch something useful, documentaries that are useful, something that is beneficial. Okay. So try to use things that are useful, brothers and sisters. It's not necessarily we have to watch, because this influences us. We start wanting to become just like yesterday. Remember that example I gave of the guy with the haircut? And then 2 weeks later, you were at the barber getting the same thing. We see these guys doing this. Initially, we might resist it, reject it. But few months later, we are practicing it, wal'iyadu billah. Because we become desensitized to it, subconsciously accepting it. So we need to pay attention to this immorality, brothers and sisters. The third one is the gaming. That is a big thing these days, a big thing to have. Do you know there is statistics? Children who are 0 to 8 years, they watch 4 hours of television, or they spend, 4 hours on the internet on a daily basis, on average. 0 to 8. Can you hear this? 0 to 8 years old. 4 hours on a daily basis on average. Especially in the summertime. Some of you might relate this to your children. Baba, what are you doing? Baba, I have nothing to do. This is what. خلاص. Go study. Go read. I'm bored. At the same time, brothers and sisters, we need to come up with alternatives for these children. Programs, events, things so that we can keep them preoccupied. Children, according to the statistics, 8 to 12 years old, they spend on average 8 hours on the internet. That's a full-time job. 8 hours. And some studies recently say, no, that's increased to 9 hours. Yani more than a full-time job. Every day. Those 12 and older, they spend about 14 hours on a daily basis on the internet. 14 hours! Where do you guys get that time from? We really need to pay attention to these things. And some of these games that some of our youths invest time, or waste time, I should say, on them. There is a game, it's a car stealing game. I think, mashallah, they already mentioned it. Mashallah. I have an example, live example right here, brothers. Live example. That game, the actions present in that game, I would not be able to speak them from the pulpit. It's that indecent. I am not a faqih, but some of the fuqaha were asked if there are some games that consist of some immoral themes, can one play them? And they said, no, it's haram to play such games. Now, the question was generic. It didn't say about this game and that game. And please, don't start sending me emails tomorrow. Is this halal? Is that game halal? I don't know. I'm not an expert, brothers, on gaming, unfortunately. That's not my forte. Another game. That one, I will mention its name. Fortnite. Yeah. Maybe half of the audience here plays Fortnite. I was at a majlis a few months ago and I mentioned it. Believe me, the minute I said Fortnite, I saw some people doing the dab. The minute I mentioned the name, subhanallah. You know. It's so into them that the minute they hear the name, they subconsciously do whatever those dances are. But they're causing a lot of distraction. Now research is trying to come out. There's not much research because it's a relatively new game. So research is not, but there is some primitive research about the influence of this game. Some schools have banned this game. I personally have had experience with students, personal experience, because currently I'm a principal of a school. a full-time school. We've had students who are in middle school who were C students, C. We had a communication with the parents and we agreed that we take their games away. These C students, within a matter of 3 months, became A students. Believe me. One of them came to me, she said, Sheikh, I never thought I could get an A. I've never gotten an A in my life. I said, brother, how much time do you spend on these things on a daily basis? He said, I said, tell me. He said, about 6 hours. 6 hours. He stays up until 2 a.m. I told him, no wonder then you're going to get a C, obviously. So we need to really find alternatives, brothers and sisters. And as parents, what we do is to control the timings. You individuals, if you want to be successful and you're going to waste 6 hours of your day playing a game, that's not going to take you anywhere. People who accomplish things, it's not by doing this. So you need to control yourself. If you can't, then abandon it. That's what you have to do. Say every day, for example, weekdays, I will not play. Weekends, maybe 2 hours max. Khalas, that's it. If some of my friends are going to complain and bully me that, oh, you're still in season so-and-so, I'm in season that, you know, I'm way ahead of you. Too bad. Tell them I'm way ahead of you in the grades, brother. When I was doing my PhD, the first PhD in chemistry, I had a colleague. He was always on social media. That actually gave me a personal negative vibe to social media. This guy started his PhD 1 year before me, finished 1 year after me. I finished 2 years shorter than him with many more publications, almost twice as many publications as he had. I thought, what a waste of time. Go work. So brothers and sisters, these are important things, but these are forms of summary that we are observing in this day and age. Let's watch our health. Let's watch our morality. Let's watch our akhlaq. When we play these games and these things, we need to really find alternatives. And that's where I would like to request the mu'mineen, those of you who have the ability and the knowledge to create games, if you can start creating some morally themed games, Islamically themed games that can attract children so that can play something useful. If those of you, some of you can make animations, if you can start making some really nice animation videos and cartoons and publish them online so that people can start watching these and benefiting from them so that we can cater to this age group from 0 to 14 years. We need to start catering to them. This is my message to the mu'mineen. Those of you who have the money to invest, you can maybe invest on these things so that Allah can guide some of our children through your investments. The Prophet tells Imam Ali, if one person is guided through you, Ya Ali, it is better than this whole universe. So if a person invests, say for example, $1 million to produce a 50-minute show, as a consequence of this show, so many people become guided, or even one person becomes guided, then that 1 million is worth every penny of it. Take a look at Al-Imam Al-Hussein Salamullahi Alayhi and his sacrifice. Look how much he gave to fight the distortions. Because in his days, there were also distortions. Bani Umayyah, from the time of Muawiyah, were creating, fabricating lies after lies after lies, distorting people's salat, distorting people's faith, distorting people's aqa'id. Distortions after distortions. Imam al-Hussein rose against these distortions. Just like Musa alayhi salam had to do something drastic, like burn that calf and throw it into the water, despite it all being gold. But he wanted to show them, this is so bad. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, to revive the religion of Islam and revive the people, had to stand up and do something drastic, where he would say, "Hayhat minna dhillah." We refuse to live in humiliation. We're going to revive people. As I mentioned a couple nights ago, that's why when Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam came back to the Medina, someone came to him and he said, "Ya ibn Rasulillah, who won the battle?" Imam Sajjad said, "Wait until you hear the adhan. When you hear the adhan, you will know who won the battle. As long as that adhan continues, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam is the victorious one. أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين. But that came at a huge expense. That was not easy, brothers and sisters. How difficult was it? Taking the family, the children, not just himself. Especially what happened to the children of Al-Imam Al-Hussein salamullahi alayhi. That was very painful for Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, the women of Al-Imam Al-Hussein. A very prominent poet of Al-Imam Al-Ridha alayhis salam by the name of Di'bil Al-Khuza'i. He comes to visit Al-Imam alayhis salam and says, I have prepared a poem about your grandfather Al-Imam Al-Hussein. Shall I recite it? Imam Al-Ridha says, wait. He puts up a curtain. He sets up a curtain and he says to the women, sit behind the curtain. And he says, Di'bil, go ahead, go on. So he recites this very famous eulogy that many reciters on the pulpit in Arabic, they recited. Among the verses of this eulogy is أَفَاطِمُ لَوْ خِلْتِ الْحُسَيْنَ مُجَدَّلًا وَقَدْ مَاتَ عَطْشَانًا بِشَطِّ فُرَاتِ إِذَنْ لَلَطَمْتِ الْخَدْ فَاطِمُ عِنْدَهُ وَأَجْرَيْتِ دَمْعَ الْعَيْنِ فِي الْوَجَنَاتِ. O Fatima, if you were present on the day of Ashura to see what happened to your son Hussein in Karbala, then how would have you reacted? Di'bil answers in the second verse. He says, you would have beaten your cheek from the pain of seeing your son being slaughtered in front of your eyes. Di'bil says, until I came to this verse of the poem, with this verse, Imam al-Ridha picked up his imamah, he threw it to the ground, and he cried loudly, Wa Jaddah, Wa Husayna. They asked him, they said, Di'bil, what was that verse that burned the heart of your imam? He said, I reminded him of his aunt Zainab, salamullahi alayhi. He said, I said, بنايات زياد في القصور مخدرايات وبنات الرسول سبايا في الفلوات. The women, the children of Ziyad, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, are well cared for. Yet the women and the children of Rasulullah, deserts from one place to another place. When Imam al-Ridha heard this, he cried, Aywa Jaddaya wa Husayna. Imam had a young daughter by the name of Fatima. When he wanted to leave Medina, he saw that she was too ill to travel. He feared that she may not even make the journey to Karbala. So he decided to keep her behind with Ummu Salama, with Ummu al-Baneen alayhim as-salam. This lady, this young girl, young daughter of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, was asleep, she was resting. Then she woke up, she asked, where is my father Abi Abdullah? They told her, oh, he came to see you, to kiss you, but you were asleep. He did not want to wake you up. So they just left. This girl got up, she ran behind the caravan and cried, Abba ya Hussein, O my father Abba Abdullah, wait, don't go, O father ya Hussein. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam heard her. He turned back, came to her. He saw her tears flowing over her cheeks. Imam al-Hussein cried. He said, my little girl, don't cry. Your tears are painful to your father, Abi Abdullah. I say, Abba Abdullah, if the tears of Fatima are painful, what about the tears of the girls and the women on the day of Ashura? He comes to the little girl, he hugs her, he kisses her. He comforts her. He says, my little girl, go back. You are too ill for this journey. I'm afraid something might happen to you. You would not make it. Stay behind with Salama, Ummul Baneen. She said, father, will you come back again? That's when Imam al-Hussein could not stop his own tears. And he said, my little girl, we will be reunited again in Jannah. He didn't want to tell her, I'm not coming back. So he answered her differently. This little girl, she went back, waiting until she heard the cry, Hussein is killed in Karbala. I say, oh Abba Abdullah, you came back in Medina. You have another daughter who called you in Sham. She cried, Aywa Abata wa Husayna. But she was presented with your head, Ya Abu Abdullah. She hugged the head of her father, covered in blood, and cried, ah, Ruqayya is hugging the head. Father, I wanted you to hug my head, not me hugging your head. Ah, Aba man alladhi hazza wa riyadak, Aba man alladhi khadaba shaybatak, Aba man linnisa wal aytam ba'dak. Oh father, who beheaded you? Who's going to take care of me after you? She started, continued to cry. Oh Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Everyone shout 3 times, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. She continued crying until she went into a deep silence. Imam al-Sajjad turned to his aunt Zainab and said, Amma Zainab, pick up my sister from the head of my father. She has now joined him in Jannah. She came to her. The girl is lifeless on the head of Imam al-Hussein. Akhi Abba Abdullah, watch what I'm going through in this journey. She goes back to Karbala. She throws herself on the qabr of Al-Imam al-Hussein, crying. And then she apologizes. What would you apologize for, Ya Zainab? Ya Abba Abdullah, you told me to take care of your women and children. I took care of them all. But your daughter Ruqayya remained in Shaya.
لما أراد الحسين الخروج من المدينة
فاطمة العليلة له الشعراء يصورون حوار بينها وبين رقية تقلها بفراق الأهل والعشيرة مبتلية
قعدي واسيني بوجودك يا رقية يا اختي انا العليلة سمعيني يا العضيدة خليني وحيد ياخذني وياكم كربلاء هذا اللي أريد ترى العيش من عقبكم تصعب علي
تقلها يا اختي يا فاطمة شو تجاوبها رقية
يا اختي كتبنا نهاجر من هالأوطان يا اختي كتبنا نهاجر من هالأوطان ولينا سهمنا من البلا وسهمك إلى حزايان جدنا يا اختي وطلعنا بالضعايان وانت تبكي علينا كل صبح ومسية يا اختي يا فاطمة يا فاطمة يا فاطمة يا اختي بهالسفر مالي رد للمدينة ترد إليك زينب ونسوتها الحزينة يرجعوا إليك فاقدين أهلنا وولينا وأنا بالشام وافتني المنية يا محلى الأبو بين الأولاد بين الأولاد ويا محلى الأبو أنا دهري مني الشرايات فجعني بشمعة البيت ونور الأفواد نذرا علي لئن عاد وإن رجع
لأزرعن طريق الضف ريحانا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Brothers and sisters, raise your hands in the dua quickly, inshallah. We'll read together. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amma yujibul muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف 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 السوء اللهم اكشف عنا السوء يا الله اجعلنا وذريتنا إلى يوم الدين من شيعة أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام المتقين ومن خدمة الحسين المخلصين وارزقنا شفاعتهم في الدنيا وفي القبر وفي الآخرة يا الله اللهم اقض حوائج المؤمنين والمؤمنات شاف وعاف جميع مرضى المؤمنين والمؤمنات على الخصوص من أوصونا بالدعاء منهم اللهم اقض حوائجهم شاف مرضاهم احفظهم بحفظك يا كريم اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين لقضاء الحوائج شفاء المرضى كشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة تعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح أمواتنا وأموات الجالسين والعلماء والحضراء والحضور جميعا ولسلامة جميع العلماء الأفاضل رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.